Welcome to TJSlideways.com Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com, another Monday night edition of our open wheel chat show. I'd like to thank you for listening. All of our guests tonight appear on the Rocket Headers Hotline, and our first guest is already on the line, and he's looking forward to going to one of his favorite tracks this weekend, if Mother Nature cooperates. Tracy Hines taking time out of his busy schedule to join us right off the beginning of the show. Tracy, thanks for taking time out to join us.
Hey, no problem, guys.
Well, I really appreciate this. I mentioned at the very top of the show, Eldora, one of your favorite places to go. If you were taking one of the drivers that you were coaching, because you've done this for several different people, what would you tell them about getting around Eldora?
Tell them it's trade secret and learn. Probably just the biggest thing is just respect the track and just realize it takes momentum. It's really not, if you go in faster that one corner, it's 5 laps later that you feel the speed from going in deep on one corner. So, you know, it's just kind of like a tetherball. You just keep winding it up, and eventually it just goes faster and faster.
Did you take an instant liking to Eldora as soon as you first raced on it, or was it something you had to become acclimated to?
Well, I took a liking to it. It didn't like me. I crashed quite a bit my first few years. Probably the worst thing for me being a midget driver when I first started was midgets only went there one time a year during the fork round. So it was really hard for me to get enough laps, and usually by the time I did, it was too close to the wall, and I ended up crashing. And then as I got into the sprint cars, I took a real good liking to it, and then, you know, we've obviously had pretty good success over the years.
And now that you've always taken care of the stuff, and you're always been a hands-on guy, is what I'm trying to get at. And now you have a role with your team that's even more important. I mean, you basically run the whole operation, you and your wife and everything. Has that changed your perspective compared to driving for someone else over the years?
Well, yes and no. I've always ran this sprint car team since 2010. I've ran it the same as I've always ran it, meaning it's kind of always been mine on paper. We just had a really, really big sponsor that was more of an owner/sponsor in Dave Calderwood with MP Environmental out of California. And after his passing, he passed away in May of last year, then we finished out the year, and then the family decided, you know, that was his, what he loved to do, and that, you know, I just needed to go on and try to do it myself. And we have, and that's, so probably the biggest difference is where before my budget, you know, you always have a budget, but I definitely had a higher budget last year. And now this year with it being our dollar and our, you know, I have to go out and find multiple sponsors instead of just one good one, or one big one, I should say. It's definitely a lot harder to race that way. You have to be thinking about the almighty dollar instead of going to a lot of local races. You know, I just got to sit at home and wait till it pays more for me to run.
How hard is that on you as a racer?
Well, it's hard because some of the kids are, you know, out there going to get more races. Just like last weekend, I would have loved to go to Lawrenceburg and race one of our cars. But, you know, just financially, we can't put any more laps on our motors than what we have scheduled to do, because it would just cost so much more money to rebuild them. You know, so you just can't. The dollars don't add up. If you can't win every single night out, you'll barely pay for your rebuilds.
And you had mentioned you had gotten together back with Dave Calderwood when this kind of deal began in 2010. How did that all come about? How did you get Dave kind of brought back into the fold and to start this team?
Well, actually, you know, I drove for Dave in the mid-90s, and Dave and I had always been close, and family had always been close. And he kind of got out of racing. He'd dabbled a little with his kids and stock cars and different things. And he'd got out of racing at the end of 2009, we'd seen each other a couple California races, and the Stewart team was closing down to just one sprint car team, and I kind of approached him and said, hey, you know, I think I can go to Florida, but I need some race, some cars to run in California when we start the year. And he said, all right, come to the house. I got a couple cars here. You got to put them together. And I did. We ran really well. And the next thing we know, both of us looked at each other and said, well, let's bring some back east. And that's what we did. And it was pretty good from there on.
It was pretty special. You went on a real hot streak, too, right before his passing.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, he had got an illness that took him fairly quick. Got diagnosed right at the Chili Bowl, and it took him in May. You know, and I just, you can win things so many times in a guy's memory, but I'd still probably give back all the wins if I could have him back. Because, you know, it came down to more just the camaraderie of him and I together and just having fun. And, you know, the guy would work 7 days a week, but anytime I called and gave a race result, he was eager to hear what happened and, you know, loved being part of it.
And, of course, you guys carry on this year. One aspect about your program is your wife probably works as hard as anyone else I've ever seen in the pit area. How instrumental is she in that program?
Well, she's very instrumental just because, you know, like you said, I can't, we don't have any full-time employees on the sprint car team. We have them through our other part of the business, but not for the sprint car team. So it's just, it's definitely volunteers and, you know, my wife, she has to be the other employee with me. And, you know, if it wasn't for her, I couldn't do it. And, you know, she tries the best she can to do all the PR end of it and the other stuff that I don't really like to do. You know, it's hard for me because I enjoy talking to fans and doing all the extra stuff. Unfortunately, I don't have time when I'm at the races because, you know, I have to dedicate all my time to making the car go fast and make sure it doesn't break down. So, you know, sometimes it doesn't always work out that way for me to be so fan friendly. And that's where my wife comes in, where she can be that part of the team for us.
And one thing as a media guy that I've always liked, whenever I've had a question for you, you've always given us a straight answer. You don't dance around it and stuff. You've always been one of those guys that I trust as a media person that you can go to and learn something from because you're not going to get a line of BS, so to speak.
Well, yeah, that's kind of how there's always been a saying, either love me or hate me. And one of the reasons of being, I only know one way, and that's just to tell the truth. And whether it's right or wrong or indifferent, that's pretty much all I know how to say. So you're going to get that from me, whether it's what you consider the truth or not. It's definitely what I would consider. And then, you know, just hopefully everybody can come out of it thinking, well, you know, may not be what we wanted to hear, but it was what he had to say.
Exactly. And let's talk about hobbies for a second. That's not something we hear Tracy Hines talking about. And I looked on your bio on your website, golf. How much golfing with this race team and stuff do you actually get to do?
Well, last year I got to golf once and this year none yet. But there's been times where when we were in Charlotte, we golfed pretty much every day. And it's a sport I love. It's just not always something I can get to do, but being left-handed, I always complain that all the courses are set up for a right-handed person because it's definitely harder for us, but I definitely enjoy it.
And then also, I saw on your website you got the RC cars out this weekend out on Facebook. And what kind of RC cars do you own and enjoy driving around?
I own like 7 of them. I'm kind of obsessed with them. This actually started, I know everybody just kind of recently got into it. When I was 15, I broke my neck, and I was kind of out of any sport for a while. So my mom got me an RC car, and then I started racing them and then got ate up in them. Kind of got out of them, got back into dirt bikes, and then, of course, everybody knows I got hurt on that again. So over the last couple of years, I got back into RC, and I have, counting them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 of them. and they're all kind of different applications. I have gas ones, electric, carpet cars, 8-scale, 10-scale, buggies, trucks. Me and my buddy, Brad, one of my good volunteer helpers, we built a track at our house. Actually, Brad built it while we were gone in California last year. And we've enjoyed playing when we have time.
Now, I've seen how competitive you are at the racetrack. Does that competitive nature come into the RC cars?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, actually, I was just talking to one of my other buddies today. He was supposed to come out and play, and he didn't. So I've outlawed him from coming around now because he didn't come when we needed him. So all joking aside, yeah, we play hard. We're getting into different tires now, trying to figure out what tires have better grip. And, you know, it's just ever evolving. You're always trying to do something different.
You can never save the racer from themselves. And this is Tracy Hines joining us on the TJSideways.com live show. One other aspect of your racing career that you've always done, you've always been involved, you know, and mainly in the past, I'd say 10 years or so, different seminars about setups and stuff, because you've always been very mechanically inclined with your race cars. And also, you've gotten in the coaching aspect of the racing, where you field cars for people and maybe offer some advice. What is it, you know, what is it like to drive for Professor Tracy Hines?
Well, if you ask Taylor Ferns, who we take care of now, currently all her stuff, she would probably say very hard, because I am definitely not mean to her, but I tell her how it should be, because probably the one thing is, you can't tell me, well, I couldn't do this or I couldn't do that, because I know you can. So it's hard to BS me, because I've been there, done that. And I, you know, I just strive for the best, because I know, you know, just Taylor, for example, I know if she can do it for one lap, she can do it for eight laps. So that's the thing that we always try to work on is, I know it's in there. We just got to get it out of you. And you know, we've seen progress over the year for her.
And, you know, one other aspect that you talked about in this, the mechanical side, I assume that came from the beginning. You were probably responsible for your own race cars.
Yeah, you know, and that's kind of where how I got started. I drove my dad's car for the first, like six races, and then I had to do something different and basically the only way I could do it was to offer my mechanical skills. And it's just progressed from there. I've had a lot of good teachers over the years, a lot of people that's taught me. Jim McQueen taught me a lot about shocks. And, you know, as it's went on, I've just, I've taught myself. A lot of people have taught me engineering side of it. Danny Dryden to Mike Stryker. You know, a lot of the early engineer pioneer type people into the racing that wanted to know why things work instead of this is how it works. So, you know, I tried to feed off of them. And You don't always win the races, and of course I'm not as young as I used to be, but I feel like knowledge-wise, we try to compete with the most of them.
And another aspect of this, you said you're working with Taylor. Are you working with anyone else, or is there a plan to expand that program a little bit, or is it just now pretty much her?
Right now, with what we have, it's pretty much her. You know, we're expecting her hopefully to move on in the next year or two, possibly ARCA. So, you know, then we'd look at maybe filling that spot. And one of our things is, we don't have enough equipment, so we like to bring their equipment in, and then we take care of it. So one of the things, it's hard to work. Right now I do consulting with C.J. Leary. Chuck Leary's father and I have been friends for years. But, you know, they live close enough where I can go over and supervise what's being done with the car as far as getting built. One of the things we try to stay away from is helping people at the track that we don't work on their car, or at least know what's going in it, because it's hard to, you know, throw a bunch of setup on it if the rear end's not square or things are not in the right position. So, you know, we try to always do everything in-house if we can.
And one exciting opportunity you have coming up this summer, you're going to be getting back in a NASCAR truck for the Eldora race. When did conversations start with Thor Sports? I know you have a history with them. When did the conversation start to get you into a truck for that race?
Well, actually, we were out in California at the end of the year, and there was a lot of rumors going around that there could be a possible truck race. So it was basically as simple as I text the owner, Duke Thorson, and said, hey, if this thing goes, you got a truck for me? And he sent back, yep, if it's real, we're done. And then the day they announced the real, I texted him. He said, done deal. So it was that simple, not even a phone conversation to it. You know, it just goes to show you, you know, you always tell people in the business, don't burn the bridge. Well, That was a team I drove 48 truck races for. Had much respect for them, and you know, had moved on to a Busch deal that didn't turn out as well as we thought, and came back here. And so, you know, you try never to burn a bridge, and that was one of those circumstances that it paid off.
Now, you have some history in those vehicles, so how do you think they're going to race at Eldora? How do you think that's going to play out?
Well, I'm hoping good, but my gut tells me it's going to lay rubber halfway through and be pretty racy, but maybe a multi-lane rubber down racetrack. They haven't came out with the rules package yet. Chad Little, the director, was going to send a rules package out. We could kind of see what the difference was from a normal truck to now. I know a lot of the guys have talked about, Bloomquist and some of the other stock car guys, late model guys coming. But what everybody's got to remember is they're not going to get to run the normal suspension they're used to. They're going to have to run what NASCAR allows it. And right now, the truck arms and rear ends can't move like everybody thinks the late model does. So it's going to be a lot different. The good truck guys will still be up front. And hopefully guys like me and you know, that have experience with both can do well also.
And one aspect I saw that you talked about with that, where you have experience driving the modified and stuff during the Four Crown, which made you think, do you kind of miss that aspect of the Four Crown where you'd see maybe at Gas City or someplace about 2 weeks before the Four Crown, all of a sudden you'd see all these sprint car drivers dropping into modified, trying to negotiate that modified ride, and that's something that you've done too. Do you kind of miss that part of the Four Crown?
Yeah, I do, most definitely, because for me, the last couple of years, I had really good modified rides. Actually, the family of Scott Orr and his family, they actually introduced me to my wife now. So, and he was the outdoor track champion, so I always had a good car to get in, a lot of knowledge. So I missed that aspect of it. The different disciplines that a driver had to do at that racetrack was always neat to see.
I always liked it. Like I said, the weeks leading in, it was always fun to see you guys jump in at like Gas City and a few places just to get a few extra laps. And you'd be staring at the pit lane to see, okay, who's in this car? Who's in that car? You know, kind of sizing everybody up.
Yeah, exactly. We would run Terre Haute usually before, just trying to get some laps. And my worst experience there was spinning out in front of the whole field on the start of the feature. So didn't pan out well for me.
I was going to say some memories we don't want to remember. Now, you guys live a little ways out of town and stuff. If you had your druthers and could keep the race cars anywhere you want to, is Tracy Hines more of a live-in-town guy, maybe suburbia or maybe right in town? Or do you like living out in maybe the expanses quite a ways out of town, nice and quiet?
Oh, yeah. We live out in the country. We have a cornfield on one side, a railroad, or what used to be an old railroad on the other, and woods behind us. So I don't like neighbors and don't want to deal with the government. So I like being away from everybody, that's for sure.
Just got nice and quiet. This is Tracy Hines on TJSolidways.com Live. Tracy, really appreciate you joining us. Wish you best of luck at Eldora this weekend and for the rest of the season. I'm sure you have some people you want to thank as well.
Yeah, I just want to thank the sponsors that have come on this year. Hanson's Welding out of California, do a lot of industrial welding, a lot of specialized stuff that has to have a lot of aircraft approval. Also, Motor City Transport, which is friends of ours and Taylor Fern's family and their business. And then Park and Machinery, which has been a long-time sponsor of mine, and just want to thank everybody on board, Turbines Incorporated and Hoosier, and, you know, everybody that makes it happen for us.
And he'll be going to hopefully break the record and get four consecutive Eldora opener victories. Tracy, thanks for your time joining us tonight, and wish you best of luck on Saturday. Hopefully Mother Nature plays into our favor this time.
Yeah, hopefully the weather will hold off and we can get a lot of fans out there to see it happen.
All right, it's Tracy Hines joining us on the Rocket Harris Hotline. When we come back, we're going to have Ian Madsen joining us to talk about his 2013 plans. You're listening to TJSlideways.com Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at EngineProParts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro. Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at RocketHeaders.com.
Jay Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com. The National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rocket around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Friday Night Thunder returns to Oshwegan Speedway for the 2013 season, featuring the Corpac Sprint Car Series, Thunderstocks, Mini Stocks, and Bombers every Friday night. For more information, call 888-720-7223 or visit OshweganSpeedway.com for more information.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at EngineProParts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
Okay.
Welcome back to TJSlideways.com Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com. And our next guest is one of the hottest sprint car drivers in the world. And we emphasize the world because he was just tearing up the Australia scene. Comes back over here to the United States with a brand new team. First night out, wins the MOWA feature over at Burlington, Iowa. Glad to welcome Ian Madsen with us tonight. Ian, congratulations on the big debut win Saturday night.
Thanks very much, TJ, and thanks for getting me on tonight. It's a pleasure to be on. And here we've got a first night out, first win with a brand new team, so we're all pretty stoked with that.
And let's talk about your brand new team. How did that all come together? How did you put together this new team, and who's involved with it?
It's my longtime friend, Matthew Barbara, who I've worked with and has been my best friend for over 20 years. And he's worked with me, crewed with me ever since we started. And he put this deal together with Nearing Construction out of Des Moines, Iowa. And he got all these people together, and he's put together a really solid team for this year. And they really want to have a good shot at winning the Knoxville Championship, and I think they've put everything in place to
for so we can have a really good shot at that.
And I was kind of looking at the hauler and looking at the pictures, and it looks like a really nice operation. Do you have aspirations of this team eventually growing and traveling a bit more, or will we see you travel throughout this season, or is pretty much the focus on Knoxville at this point?
This year, the main objective is just Knoxville. They really want to win the Knoxville Championship, and hopefully, if we can really do well in that run, top three in the championship, then sure, we'd really like to start traveling in the next couple of years, and I just hope that I've found a team that I've found a home for a little while, and we'll just try and be bigger and better every year.
Now, obviously, with the Nationals and all the history, it seems like a lot of Australians have always gravitated towards Knoxville, and there's a lot of other places you can maybe go look around and race more often. But why is it when there's only one 410 track that runs primarily in that area? Granted, it is Knoxville. Why go there versus maybe go to Pennsylvania or Ohio?
I think it's just, everyone back in Australia just knows Knoxville. It's the sprint car capital. So, it's probably just more the tradition and the prestige more than anything. And, like you said, we could go to Pennsylvania or Ohio, or the hotbeds, and, race 3 to 4 nights a week. But I came over here in 2002, 2003 just to work for Kerry, my brother, in Knoxville. And I've met a lot of friends and stuff here. It's pretty much like a second home to me now, so it's an easy place to come back to, and I have a lot of contacts here now, and you just really get spoiled. Even though you only race one night a week, you get spoiled so much at Knoxville Raceway. They treat the competitor and the fans so good, and it's just a real easy place to race.
Do you think even for the race team, sometimes you maybe lose track of that if you only go to Knoxville, like some of the local teams that might go, well, there's, like the scenery gets a little old because you're just going there all the time?
Yeah, I do believe that, actually. And, it seems as though a lot of the Knoxville teams don't travel even when it's only an hour or two down the road. I think they you do get spoiled there, and but I think we're planning on traveling a bit this year. We're going to try and hit 10 to 15 World of Outlaw races when they're in the area. And, I think we'll probably still get, 40 shows in, hopefully, and that'll be quite enough for the first year in a brand new team.
You mentioned your first year over here was crewing for your brother. And what was that like? What was that first trip to America like for you?
It was a big eye-opener. We come from all the small tracks down in Australia, little bull rings, and come over and see a first race at, see Knoxville and Eldora. It was a bit of an eye-opener for me, but I knew that's what I wanted to do once I come over here, and I just tried everything I could every year to make it happen.
And who gave you your first opportunity stateside?
I actually drove for Wayne Simmons in 2005 in the F5 chassis car. And that was really my first opportunity. And it was only my second year racing. And, I struggled a little bit. And then I couldn't find anything again until I come back in 2010 and drove for the TK Concrete 55. And in between 2005 and 2010, I still come over every year crewing for Kerry on the Outlaws.
How important, if you're talking to maybe someone that wanted to break into the sport, how important is it to, would you stress like that, to keep crewing on a car, keep being visible like that, even if you don't have a ride?
I think it's very important. There were some times where I thought, I might not ever get a ride over here, but I just kept plugging away and kept coming over. And even when I wasn't racing, I'd made a lot of contacts and a lot of friends over the years, and it's definitely helped me from when I started racing. And then I also gained a lot of knowledge about the cars and about the running and the logistics of getting the team up and down the road. So it was a big help in my career as well.
Now, back at home, you have had a tremendous winter of 2012 and winter and spring of 2013. Let's talk about your team you raced for over in Australia a little bit. You guys had a terrific season, and you were pretty much favorites to win everywhere you pulled in this year.
Yeah, it was quite an unbelievable year. I drove for a guy named Barry Lewis back there, and he's been around the sport for about 25, 30 years owning cars, and he just runs a small team down there, and we concentrated on just doing the Sydney thing this year, and we put a really good team together and had some really good help, and got a real good program going, and we were able to get nearly 10 wins down there, so that was pretty awesome. And I also took out the $50,000 race in Sydney to top the year off.
What was that like when you pull off that? Because it's not just you win two races and you get 50 grand. You have to basically start at the back of that second race, or you have to start a certain amount back at least to get it, right?
Yeah, you had to be top points over the two nights of racing, which was, you know, quite hard in itself. And then the top point guy got a chance to start out of position 19 for $50,000. And we'd been going really good there all year, and we'd run from 13 and 15 before. So, you know, we thought, what the hell, we'll take the challenge. We've been running good all year and just see what happens. And, we were able to, went to the back actually twice. We had a problem halfway through the race and had to go to the rear. So to pull it off on the last corner was pretty amazing.
And of course, then you come here stateside, getting that team ready. You go out and, weather-wise, probably, were you planning on going anywhere but Burlington? Were you planning to do the Friday night show or just Burlington?
Oh, we're actually just planning on doing the, practice night at Knoxville. And then it wasn't until Wednesday or Thursday we even realized there was a race on at Burlington. So, once we found out, we thought there's no better practice than actually racing. So we got everything ready and headed on down to Burlington, and we weren't really expecting anything. So to come out with and clean sweep the night was pretty amazing. And it was pretty awesome for Brett Nearing, a brand new car owner, his first ever sprint car race owning a car. So, I just hope he doesn't think it's that easy every night.
Ian Madsen joining us on TJSlideways.com Live, getting ready for the Knoxville opener this week. And the competition at Knoxville this year, quality, front to back, is just amazing. You've got guys, you know, even the guys that come in and out on a semi-regular basis that are there. Just the field is so deep. It's going to be quite a challenge this year for you.
Oh, I think it's going to be the toughest year at Knoxville in modern times. You know, with guys like Terry McCall, Davey Heskin, Dobmeier, and then you're going to have the likes of Brian Brown there, you know, a lot of the time. It's Brooks Hatnell is going to be here every week. It's going to be awesome year for the fans, and I think it'll probably be one of the best years they've had in the last 5 to 6 years.
And, of course, you know, with the Nationals carried out there, you know, what is it like to be a Knoxville regular going into the Nationals? We've had lots of traveling drivers that have talked about the Nationals, but we've never actually, you're the first guy that has run weekly we've had on the show. What is that like for a weekly regular to go into that race?
You know, you kind of say you'd like to treat it like any other race, but you don't. And we kind of, you know, you gear up all year, you know, for that race. And, you know, you just try not to put too much pressure on yourself, because your Nationals can be done after your qualifying lap. So, last year we were lucky enough to make the show, and hopefully we can get in the show again and, get up a bit further than last year.
Now, there's a lot of great venues in the world, and you've probably traveled around as a crew member and seen a lot of them. Is there some place in the United States you haven't raced yet that you kind of have, with your sprint car career, have circled, like, I want to get to here or here? Where are those places?
I really want to get to Eldora and race there. I haven't had the opportunity to race at Eldora yet, and it's definitely I want to do pretty soon. And unfortunately, with the locking yourself into the Knoxville Championship, it makes it tough to get to a lot of the races because they conflict. But I'm hoping this year, after Knoxville's done, we can get out to Eldora, because since I've been coming over here, that's the one place I've always wanted to race at.
All right, so this is Ian Madsen joining us. And Ian, I'm sure you have some people to thank that made last weekend happen, and also your Knoxville season.
Yeah, I'd just really like to thank Barry Lewis for the awesome year we had back in Australia. And then I'm just really excited for this year. Brett Nearing and Matthew Barber, they've put an amazing thing together for myself this year, and hopefully I can reward them with some good results throughout the year and represent them well.
All righty. Ian, thank you for taking time to join us tonight, and best of luck at the Knoxville opener, Mother Nature, if Mother Nature plays nice with us.
Yeah, it's pretty cold down here, but hopefully we can get it in, and thanks for having me on.
All right. Ian Madsen joining us on the Rocket Headers Hotline. We're going to take a quick break and get ready to wrap up the show. You're listening to TJSlideways.com Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at EngineProParts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro. Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at RocketHeaders.com.
Jay Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com. The National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rock it around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Friday Night Thunder returns to Oswego Speedway for the 2013 season, featuring the Corpax Sprint Car Series, Thunderstocks, Mini Stocks, and Bombers every Friday night. For more information, call 888-720-7223 or visit OswegoSpeedway.com for more information.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at EngineProParts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
Welcome back to TJSideways.com Live here at RacesOnTheWeb.com. We've had Tracy Hines on to talk about USAC racing and his career, and also the truck race at Eldora. Ian Madsen also joined us as well. A couple things to take care of. First of all, thoughts and prayers with everyone in Boston tonight. We kind of kept the show muted a little bit. We weren't bragging it up a lot on Facebook and Twitter just because we didn't feel it was appropriate, but we still wanted to go through because we had everyone arranged to be on tonight, so we kind of had a more subdued, got the interviews out of the way, going to move past the latest dirt and all that stuff. Just take care of a couple loose ends and then go ahead and wrap up the show. Just a couple things to mention. All-Star Performance would like to congratulate Dale Blaney on his victory over at the Steel City Stampede at Sunday at Learnerville. And Donnie Schatz, he won Friday night at King Speedway. You can visit allstarperformance.com for all of your accessory needs. And also want to welcome Poncho's Racing Products on board as a new sponsor as well this for the website. They're going to come on board for 6 months and give us a try, and I hope they like us. They had some pretty good action on their ad over the weekend, and if you're interested in joining our team, just contact us on the contact us link on tjsideways.com. So just wrapping up the show, interesting interview with Tracy Hines. I always like talking to Tracy. He's always been one of the better interviews over the years, and that's, you know, I kind of think we're going to do this more with the show, where we do some longer interviews and less newsy kind of things, and maybe line up three guests a week and do some longer, more in-depth interviews with people, because there's so many interesting personalities, and he's one of them, and he's a very interesting guy, and we don't get to, like he said in the interview, he's busy at the racetrack, we don't always get to see that side of Tracy. It was interesting to see him talk to us for about 20 minutes, which I was amazed he had time to do it, so I really appreciate that. And of course, Ian Madsen, one of the real up-and-coming young drivers. If you look at what he's done in Australia this year, he's currently third on our feature win list, which only goes back to this calendar year. So it started January 1st. He had already racked up four or five wins before then. So it was great to have him on. And man, if he can keep that fire going through Knoxville, look out. That is going to be something to watch. Now, next week, for all of our local fans, it's our one time a year we dedicate the entire show to you. It's the Great Lakes Preview. And right now, if all goes well, we've got representatives from every racetrack and series in the state, based kind of in the state of Michigan area, to join us. We're still tying up one loose end, one track that we need to get a representative from, but we'll have somebody from every track in every series on the show. It'll probably go about 90 minutes more than likely because of the just the number of people we're going to have on. We're going to have Mike Strievel on from the Sprints on Dirt. We're going to have Joe Irwin from Michigan Traditional Sprints. Dwayne Turner is going to be the representative from the Auto Value Super Sprints. He's going to come on and talk to us because a lot of their people are still going to be in South Africa at that point or recovering from the trip. So we're going to let them rest, and Dwayne's going to come on and talk AVSS with us. We're going to have Jim Hanks from the Must See series on. And we're working to try to get someone from Butler on as well. So, I mean, so we're going to have every facet of the local racing scene on to give you a preview leading into the opening weekend of Butler, Sprints on Dirt, and Spartan. And, of course, Auto Value, Must See Racing, and Haas, and all of those things will be kind of following suit. So, a really great year for open wheel racing here in Michigan. We have a USAC show, an Outlaw show, an All-Star show, two All-Star shows, depending on which schedule you look at. And plus the vibrant local scene here of sprint car racing that we already have. So it's going to be a great season. We're going to cover all of that next week. So keep that in mind here at racesontheweb.com. So like I said, thoughts and prayers with everyone in Boston tonight. We're going to wind down tonight a little bit early, kind of keep it a little more subdued. And then next week, the big Great Lakes preview show. So you'll want to pay attention to that. So I want to thank everyone for listening tonight here on racesontheweb.com. And don't forget, racesontheweb.com has live video of sprint car racing from Crystal Motor Speedway throughout the 2013 season. April 27th, the Sprints on Dirt are going to kick things off for their 2013 season live right here on racesontheweb.com. You can listen via audio, you can listen on your phone, you can also watch the live video for free. That's right, free sprint car racing. So you're going to want to check that out from Crystal last Saturday in April on racesontheweb.com. Thanks for listening tonight, and have a great evening. Good night.